We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. 92.9
The Game. I'm scared to close my eyes. I'm scared to open them.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Now, Sid, don't you blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
Happy Halloween, everybody. It's high noon here in the A. And there's going to be parties tonight. There's going to be candy given out. Everybody have fun, man. Stay safe and be with your family and those that you love. And we love our Falcons. And we're about to talk about them. And we're going to talk about it with you. 404-741-0929. And what it's going to be is your confidence level at 4-3 with 9 games to go. I got to be honest, John. On the way to work today, I'm racking my. I knew we were going to talk about this. I'm like, okay, where is it? Let's put this, let's put this whole notion in a frying pan and put it on the stove and let's see what cooks up. You are going to have a higher confidence level than me.
Yes, I will.
That is my tease right now. I'm in a trust belief kind of wishy washy zone with this team right now. I'm sorry. I wish I had something better to say, but we keep it real. We keep it objective here, and I can't tell you that it's a 10 out of 10. In terms of my confidence level, when it is not a 10 out of 10.
Oh, I definitely don't have a 10 out of 10 either. But, I almost guarantee that I will have a higher confidence level. By the way, I'm distracted right now. I guess this is NBA TV. They're showing some of the great Halloween costumes that people have dressed up as. The best one I've seen, and it's going viral. Two kids were dressed as Smokey and Craig from Friday. So they
love
did the kind of lean to the side look.
Beautiful.
Awesome costume. There's LeBron James as Pennywise. That scares the hell out of me.
What movie is Pennywise from?
It.
When did It come out?
The original, 1990, yeah. I think.
Is that a Stephen King joint?
No, I think it was before that. I think it was in the 80s.
I haven't seen It, but that clown is rather scary. Have you guys seen the movies, the Purge movies?
Mm-hmm.
Is it good?
Is it just like random senseless violence? Like, yeah, it's like violent. It's just a violent movie. It's not a horror movie.
1986 is when it came out, I think. 1990. I was right. The original was 1990.
And not Tim Burton. The guy that played it originally. He was in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, come on. That's going to bug me.
I don't know. I don't get the whole Rocky Horror Picture Show cult thing.
Tim Curry.
I don't get that.
Tim Curry. That's who it is. Thank you.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, it was the original, the first portion, because it's like two parts. There's when they're kids and then when they are adults. The adult part was stupid. But when they were kids, that clown scared the crap out of you. You wouldn't walk by a sewer and look down in there to see if Pennywise is there.
I, Georgie, am Pennywise the Dancing Clown. You are Georgie. So now we know each other.
Right. I guess so.
All right, I'm officially scared.
They float. When he does that, I was like, all right, dude, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm out. I can't do horror movies like I used to, man, but we can talk Falcons right now on Halloween. How about that? We'll take your calls, 404-741-0929. All right, John, what's your confidence level at 4-3 with 9 games?
I'll go 7. 7 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Thought it'd be a little higher than that.
No. They still have not.
You don't give out high grade.
No, again.
It's his Falcons, though. I thought that it'd be puffed up a little bit, Preacher Man.
I gave out a 10 last year when we went to the Super Bowl. That was it. That's it. I don't hand 10s out. Women don't get 10s. My wife's a 10.
Such a shame.
But, it's 7 out of 10 right now. Here's what I say. They have yet to, in 7 games, play their best game. Not even close to their best game. Their best game so far was against Green Bay in week number 2. And even that was more of a best half. Maybe best 2.5 quarters, and that's it. This is a team that can play better, and I'm hoping it starts this week. Really important game against the Carolina Panthers. Offensively, it's been hit or miss. Defensively, it's been hit or miss. The things that we've talked about for 3 weeks now that are correctable, they corrected one portion against the Jets, and that was run defense. They played the best run defense they had in 10 years. You'll love to see that. Although the Jets struggled as a run team, you still were able to go out and shut them down. I think Ruben coming in there helps. Put him next to Poe. Put him next to Jarrett. They played some bigger lineups as well where they had Reed on one end. They had Courtney Upshaw on the end. They beefed it up a little bit. offensively, there were some nice moments this weekend. I thought they took some more chunk plays down the field. But it's 7 out of 10. I predicted before the year they'd go 12-4. They're not getting to 12-4 unless everything turns and they start playing like they did a year ago.
They ain't getting to 12-4, bro. We haven't even started the division schedule. And by the way, we're in one of the best divisions in football. And John, in terms of, I want to talk to what you just said about, you know, stopping the run against New York. I'm not, and again, God bless them. It helped us win a football game. Mm-hmm. I am not going to praise our guys for stopping Matt Forte and Bilal Powell behind a bad Jets team and offensive line. I need to see more. You know, do that against Carolina, John. You've got Jonathan Absolutely. Stewart, Christian McCaffrey, and Cam Newton. All three guys can get busy. Go into their house and limit them to 80 yards on 25 carries. Mm-hmm. Give me that. And then I will say, yep, I'm going to dap up that run defense. But on a soggy field against a really humdrum offense, we should have shut them down. So I can't give them a bunch of credit for
but
that.
But here's where I do give them credit. You allowed New England with the humdrum group. And I know White and Lewis, and they can catch the ball. They're not guys that are going to line up and pound you. But yet you were pounded by Gillislee and Rex Burkhead, guys like that. That's not a great run group. It's a very good backfield. It's not a group that you're looking at for 150 yards.
Yeah, but collectively, they get there. I mean, I like all four of their backs, John. I mean, they don't have a bell cow guy or a star, but Deion Lewis can play. James White, we saw what he did to us in the Super Bowl. Rex Burkhead is a solid player and a terrific pass catcher. And then you've got Gillislee, their hammer. I think they got a hell of a backfield. So I think that's a little bit of apples and oranges. But, John, I'm annoyed by this conversation because I would never have guessed that you and I had the same confidence level in our Birds right now at 4-3 with 9 to go. I'm at a 7-2, and I thought about dropping it a little bit, but I can't. Like, this team is still really, really good on paper. They just haven't shown it yet. Mm-hmm. And, John, hopefully getting that win, Spoon being there, your starting division play, you know, hopefully the thing clicks in.
Right.
If we get beat, you know, 27-14 in Carolina, I'm going to be just about at give up on the season zone. If we're 4-4 with 8 to go, you know, you got all these teams you're looking up at. You have to win this football game, yep. John. And it's not as musty of a win as that Jets game, but it is really musty of a win right now. If you drop to 4-4. I don't have the standings in front of me, John, but correct me if I'm wrong. Carolina would go to 6-3,
mm-hmm.
and you've got New Orleans at 5-2.
Right.
You know, with a chance. So now what? So we would be 4-4. They'd be 6-3. That's a game. So no, that math does not work. You got to go to Carolina and win this football game. But I got a confidence level of 7 right now.
Yeah, absolutely do, especially when you look around the rest of the NFC. Now Minnesota's kind of got that division on lock, especially with Green Bay struggling. You've got a tiebreaker over Detroit and Chicago, so you're good there. Dallas is 4-3. You've got a game ahead with them, and they could be without Zeke Elliott now for the next 6 games. It's in your division because you already look right now in the NFC West and say, uh-oh, there could be a wild card taken by either Seattle or the Rams. They're both sitting at 5-2. That means in your own division, you've got to take care of business just to potentially get in the playoffs. So it starts this weekend. So let's go to the phones, 404-741-0929. I feel that one game can absolutely start a winning streak, and I'm hoping that in New York, in the soggy conditions, it could do just that. Let's go to Ted out on my side of town in Lawrenceville. Ted, how are you doing this morning?
Pretty good, guys. On the 1-10 scale, I have a grade of 5.5 for the Birds, and here's where I'm coming from. Yes, I know the run defense has been not nearly as good as I thought it would be, but the biggest things to me is Julio only has one touchdown catch. Freeman and Coleman are not getting the yards and touchdowns that they were getting last year. Now, I trace all this down to that offensive line. It still butthurts me to this point that we trade up in the draft and we didn't address the absolute glaring need on the offensive line. Would have been that guy, Forrest Lamp from Western Kentucky, who's playing very well for his club. I think, believe he's with the Chargers. But, yeah, he's playing well for them. We needed to address that. The right side of the O-line is still shaky, and that's where my 5-5 is coming from.
Okay. Well, in fairness, Forrest Lamp's out for the year. He hadn't played a down for the Chargers. He got hurt in the preseason. He was a guy that I know I wanted them to take at the end of the first round. They decided to go with Tack McKinley. Not mad. Tack had a big strip sack over the weekend against the Jets. I agree with what you're saying, though. Wes Schweitzer has been hit or miss. There's moments Wes Schweitzer's really good. There's moments that Wes Schweitzer has been shoved into the backfield and right into the grill of Matt Ryan, and that's got to get better.
I never stop talent evaluating. I never stop looking ahead to drafts. I love that whole aspect of sports. John, next year, first round and second round need to be in either order, offensive line and tight end. That's what I want in rounds one and two next year. We've gone defense, 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 right? We have a fantastic defense that is young and germinating. They're not there yet, but they will be. I do not want another edge rusher in the first round of next year's draft.
Well, I don't
I
think
can
you'll
tell
see
you that right now. We need offensive line help and tight end help to me. Hoop, catch the ball, man. I wouldn't be saying this stuff.
Let's go back to the phones, 404-741-0929. Duncan's out in Athens. Duncan, welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Great.
Doing all right, guys. Hey, listen, I'm at a six right now. And let me tell you something. When you looked at the end of that game against the Jets and you looked at the body language of those Jets players coming off the field, those guys looked ticked off. I think those guys were thinking, man, we should have won that game. We didn't play our best game against these Falcons. So Atlanta gets out of there with a win, and that's huge. But if they come out and play like that against the Panthers team that's going to be ready to play, they're not going to have nearly as much success. I don't think they're going to win that football game if they play like that. Now, I will say that we saw elements of what we saw last year in the fact that our running game had a few explosive plays, and Matt Ryan was able to be accurate with the football and get his 250 that he's so good at getting. And we were able to rely on that for once and actually win the game with a run defense that looks better. So I'm at a six and trending upward. If we can go out and kind of push around this Panthers team a little bit and get out there with a win, that number is going to keep going up for me.
Appreciate it.
And, John, I'll say this. Great call. He's absolutely right. And it reminds me a lot of the Miami Hurricanes, John. Right? You guys are winning in spite of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You are. There's all these mistakes. There's roughing the passer, hitting guys out of bounds, fumbles. Travis Homer tried to give North Carolina the game on Saturday by fumbling when all they needed was a first down to take a knee and win the game. And they gave the ball back to him. And then North Carolina gave the ball back to Miami. We are doing the same exact stuff. These Atlanta Falcons with these tip picks and these fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we had four fumbles on a center quarterback exchange.
Yeah.
I don't care if Noah's darn ark was at MetLife Stadium due to a deluge or a tsunami. You should not have, John, in an NFL game, four center quarterback exchange issues.
No,
it's unacceptable. One, maybe two, right? If it happens one time, okay, it's wet, you screwed up one snap. Okay, four times? Give me a break. So he's right. If we go into Carolina playing the same way we have, we're going to get beat.
Well, here's what I will say. First and foremost, the weather forecast for Carolina on Sunday is 71 is the high. So I might even go short sleeves in that, Preacher Man, because 71 is a nice temperature. I go, that's right above my threshold. 70 is too low.
Shorts?
70, no, I don't wear shorts anyway.
Because you're a professional.
Yeah, I'm a pro.
It's all that stuff.
Yeah, I've got the khakis on.
Well, the high today is 70.
Well, I'm in a mask, so I'm nice and warm regardless.
What, precipitation in the forecast for Sunday?
No, it's supposed to be partly sunny, or it's mostly sunny. So
beautiful.
It's going to be beautiful.
Awesome.
There.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll have a good time there. I will say this, and to go back to what Duncan just said, with all of those things you just mentioned, and the Jets were mad, they feel they should have won a home game. With all of that that went bad for Atlanta, you overcame and you won a football game. And there's a lot of times between the ears, when you get the confidence that we can win no matter how poorly we play, that carries a long way.
And you snapped a losing streak.
Yep.
And I heard you say a moment ago, you know, a winning streak starts with a win.
Yep.
And so maybe this gets us going. But let's go back to the phones. We're gauging your confidence level here, Falcons fans. Rick and John, mine's a 7. John's a 7 here, 4-3 with 9 to go. Let's see what Mike has to say. Mike, you're in the game on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Happy Halloween.
Hey, happy Halloween, guys. So I just wanted to really talk a little bit about where we are now. Just a quick comment on the game. I think that elements always do matter. I mean, the Falcons, let's face it, are an inside team. They're a dome team. A rain game against a team. I know Bilal Powell is not the greatest running back, but those guys are tough to bring down in the rain. So we'll take a win how we get a win. But I think these Falcons kind of remind me of some of the Green Bay Packer team in the past, and that we are capable of going on a run and competing with anybody later in the year. And I'll say it. I know it's controversial, but I'll say why. If you look at the Packers earlier in the year when they played the Cowboys last year, they were a little lethargic. They lost to the Colts, but I think that momentum is great, and I think that we are set up to win the NFC South by the moves that we've made. Not necessarily to beat the Jets or the Patriots of the world, but I think we are more equipped now to handle the Cam Newton than we were a couple years back. And that's why I feel confident about the future. Thanks for taking my call.
I love it. And we had Cam's number a year ago. Heck, we've won three straight, I believe, over the Carolina Panthers. Snapped their undefeated season back in 2015 and obviously won both games pretty convincingly a year ago.
I really like that call because I agree that our Falcons are built to beat the Seattles, the Green Bays, and as you said, in our division. Well, John, we're not built to compete with the AFC East. We're just not. It's a very foreign thing. We play that conference, that division once every 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's like a presidential debate of the Olympics, for crying out loud. So, and how does the AFC East play? They don't play like we play. It is methodical, run clock, get first downs, play great defense, kind of like old school football.
Yep.
The NFC South is more wide open and more fireworks and that kind of stuff. So I think that was a great call right there.
Let's go back to the phones. Go to Alan out in Roswell. Alan, how are you doing on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game?
I'm doing great, guys. So I give them a five, all right? Let me tell you why. I was at the very first game the Falcons played here. Johnny Unitas of the Baltimore Colts had beat him at the Georgia Tech field. I think it was 52-3, something like that. I have loved the Falcons. My heart has been cracked so many times. And then last year's Super Bowl, actually the first Super Bowl, that thing almost cracked wide open. This last.
Where'd you go, bro?
I don't know what happened. Alan.
What the heck happened? Alan, we were eating out of your hand, man. Okay. All right.
Sure.
That was an abrupt, weird ending.
Yeah.
But
Alan,
you only had a confidence level of five, man.
Well, okay.
Five.
Well,
hey.
We had a five and a half. We had a five. We had a six.
And we're seven. Were we the max in that whole segment?
We were. There was nobody higher.
How's about that?
Take a break. We'll come back. What's the latest on Zeke Elliott? Will the Falcons see him in 2 weeks? Right now, signs point to eh-eh. That's all next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We do have the same record as this time last year. And whereas I can see Coach Quinn's mantra of embrace the suck, the suck sucks. It's time to let it go.
Bounce. We're bouncing around the shield.
Let's go!
It's the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, that was Terry, a caller yesterday. Shout out to Terry. That was a great job, and thus we replayed it. And the NFL Bounce is brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Cobb County Kia. You can make it into a jingle all by itself. Hey, stop by and test drive their new 2017 Kia Sorento. John teased Zeke Elliott. We're going to talk about that. I also want to update people, John,
okay,
on the Alonzo Flacco scenario from Thursday in that big vicious hit. And we have three trades,
three trades
to sink our teeth into as well. A very ambitious NFL bounce.
You talk about Cobb County Kia. You see the new Kia that's coming out?
Yes.
I just got an Optima, and I know, you know the families, we've got a Sorento as well as you have two Sorentos. You see the Stinger? This is a new name. They've got a Kia Stinger coming out. I think I need to go get one of those. I may have to do
little
the
upgrade?
I don't even know if it's an upgrade. It's just more of a sportier four-door. It's kind of got the hatchback-y look. It looks cool as can be.
It's got a wide body stance to it. I just pulled up a picture of it.
You're the car guy. Do you like it?
Do you like it?
Yeah, it looks pretty good, the picture of it. I have to see it in person because sometimes, you know, you see these mock-ups and when they actually put them in production, you're like, yeah, it wasn't as good as I thought it was. But the artist rendition that I'm looking at looks pretty good.
Yeah, I've seen. I guess they come out pretty soon. May have to call somebody on this. May have to see what I can do. I've got a really good interest rate. My credit score is actually better because of said interest. Yeah. Might have to take a look at the old Stinger.
What was the credit? Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. Let's get into Zeke Elliott here, the important stuff in life, right? Sports. So Zeke Elliott, as John explained, it looks like the 6-game suspension is now kicked in, and who knows how the legal process will play out. But now we come back to the fantasy decision.
Uh-huh.
Do you go for Alfred Morris or do you go for Darren McFadden? Now, Morris is the guy who's been in uniform. He's been the backup. But I'm still believing that Darren McFadden is going to have the biggest punch in that Dallas backfield with Zeke out. But, John, let's talk about maybe his availability or lack thereof in the game against our beloved Atlanta Falcons.
I mean, it's huge for the Cowboys. They're a team that's righting the ship. They're playing better football. Zeke Elliott had run for 100 yards in three straight games. I think he had a buck 50 and a couple of scores this past weekend. What do we just chronicle? How much better the Falcons' runs defense was, albeit against the Jets. You want a true test, go against Zeke Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys in 2 weeks. How much do you bow up against the run there? I know Alfred Morris is a capable back, and I know Darren McFadden a couple of years ago ran for like 1,200 behind that offensive line. Let's not kid ourselves. Zeke Elliott being out takes Dallas from fringy playoff team to they're done. They're not going to make the playoffs without Zeke Elliott. And you have six games for the Cowboys, including a game here in Atlanta. By the way, the only home game Atlanta plays in about a month and a half stretch. That's a must-win game as well. And if Zeke's not there, that's a huge blow to the Cowboys.
It certainly is, dude. And, you know, screw them. We're Falcons and we're Falcons fans, and I love cheering against the star. So screw them.
I do want to say something. And we talked about this some on the countdown to kickoff with Wes and Mike Conte and Randy Mack and Arch and I. We were talking about some of the things that go on in the NFL and why the NFL could be waning in popularity a little bit. For me, it's situations just like Zeke Elliott. I don't know if he's actually done anything wrong. There's allegations. He's never been convicted. It's a very gray area that's being painted. The fact that Tom Brady with Deflategate, now you have Zeke Elliott with this suspension. Either do the suspension or don't do the suspension. I think all of us hate, Paul, this stupid back and forth, you're suspended, you're not suspended crap.
Well, the problem that I see is the fact that, you know, unfortunately for the NFL players, they signed off on the collective bargaining agreement. Now, it was already ruled by the courts when Brady tried to get out of his suspension that the NFL has total dominance over how they discipline their players because they are a private entity. So all they're doing is prolonging the inevitable and wasting their money by going to court.
Yeah,
because
but
it's proven again that the NFL is going to win. And believe me, they have way deeper pockets than you do.
Right now, and I don't think you're saying this, the NFL is not wasting their time or anybody else's time. Okay, this is about attorneys.
Yeah.
And attorneys make the world go around.
Yep.
This just in. And so, John, I'm with you. If the guy's suspended, just suspend him, serve the suspension, and let's
yep.
move on with our lives. Thing is, there's millions of attorneys in the United States
Absolutely.
Of America who become very wealthy off of situations like this. And do you think the attorneys are going anywhere anytime soon?
No.
So these controversies.
Not when they're billing like $1,000 an hour or more.
So this stuff's going to continue to play out and annoy the heck out of us.
But I agree with what John said. Unfortunately for Zeke Elliott's case, there's no proof legally that he did anything wrong.
Nope.
There's a lot of gray area. However, you have the moral clause in the NBA, in the NFL, and mm-hmm. that's what they're getting him on. It has nothing to do with what happened. It's the fact that, you know, he brought a great cloud over the situation. It got murky. There's no, you know, resolution, so to speak. And so that's what they're basing it on. And everybody's mad about it. That's fine. But if you don't want that issue, then you got to go back to the table and, you know, divide up the power to who
yep.
has all the power. Right now, Roger Goodell has all the power.
And from a morality standpoint, you can take your shots at Zeke Elliott. He's had several missteps since he's gotten into the league. But let's move on here, man. So Kiko Alonso decapitates Joe Flacco last Thursday night. I told you at the time, it's football. It's not darts, man. Rub some dirt on that split-open ear of yours and keep it moving. No suspension for Kiko Alonso. A lot of people thought he should have been suspended. I did not. The NFL is not suspending Kiko Alonso. I did not see anything about a fine either.
No, there's nothing. No fine, no nothing.
Now, check this out. Kiko Alonso, last Friday, one day after, texted Joe Flacco to apologize for the hit.
Mm-hmm.
That was well-received by Flacco's teammate, Dennis Pitta, who said he knows Alonso and says he's not a bad guy and sort of defended him. And then one more little bit of good news here. John Harbaugh said that there is a good chance that Joe Flacco was able to play this week against Paul Bibles' Tennessee Titans. So it appears that Flacco is going to be able to play. But, dude, last Thursday when he had that I don't know where the heck I am look on his face, it didn't look like he was going to be able to play 10 days later.
No, I didn't think he would either. Hey, don't forget, you guys can hang out with me. Speaking of Thursday Night Football, this Thursday, 8:30 to 10:30, Buffalo Wild Wings will be at the Cumberland Mall location. It's our 92.9 game Thursday night football watch party. Get your friends in the huddle for a night out with delicious wings, cold beer, prize giveaways, and watch Buffalo take on New York. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. I like the garlic parmesan wings have now become my favorite. I have to have them light sauce because the garlic parmesan's a little overwhelming, but it's so good. You know when it hits your lips and you just want another. Want more.
I'm a lemon pepper
Maybe
guy.
Bed Bath & Beyond as well, if you have enough time.
All right, so let's talk about these trades here in our NFL Bounce, dude. Jimmy Garoppolo has finally been moved to the Niners. I'm so happy for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
They need their franchise QB. John, let me ask you this question. Just popped into my brain. Would you have weighed in on Lamar Jackson, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph, Josh Allen? Would you have waited for one of those guys, or would you have gone for Jimmy Garoppolo?
That's a I would have drafted Deshaun Watson last year, but that was just me.
Okay, but with this reality, would you go Garoppolo now for a second round pick, or would you spend a first round pick next year on a Darnold or a Rosen?
You know, I guess you get value with Jimmy Garoppolo in a second round pick, but here's where I personally would have waited till next year, because you stink anyway. You're not going to the playoffs, so who cares? Go get a high draft choice and groom him to be your own. You get from the flip side, you do get value because you only give up a second round pick to New England. But when's the last time a New England backup has gone somewhere else and just been a star? Haven't they really, you know, basically gone out and fleeced a bunch of people? Matt Castle got a ton of money and a trade to go to Kansas City, and he stunk. Jacoby Brissett's just another guy that they traded for. And granted, Philip Dorsett hasn't done much of anything for New England, but Jacoby Brissett's just another guy. And I'm trying to – Ryan Mallett, he's horrible.
Brian Hoyer. Being another guy. But, what do all of those quarterbacks have in common? They're ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Garoppolo is not an ordinary quarterback. He throws a mean ball. Dude can spin it. And, John, I'm on the other side of this. I go ahead and I take my shot. Now, you got half a season to work it out with him, and then a full offseason, then you keep the thing moving. But you're giving up a second-round pick for first-round value. And to me, this guy has spent, 5 years with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? So some of that has had to get through to him through osmosis. And by the way, you watch the preseason games for New England to watch one thing, Jimmy Garoppolo. And he plays really well in every preseason game. I'm betting on that dude, man. I think this is a win for the 49ers.
Ryan Mallett's got one of the best arms in the NFL. He can throw the ball through it.
He's got a 2-cent head, John.
He does, but he's got a great arm.
He's got a 2-cent head. We don't know that about Garoppolo. He hasn't done any.
I got to see it before I believe it.
I've seen it in the preseason. I mean, if you can spin the ball, you can spin the ball. If you can run an offense, you can run an offense. Because he's playing against first-teamers a lot in the preseason because Brady never plays.
I've watched many a preseason star never make it in the league. So, again, let me see it. The track record for me for New England backup quarterbacks have been they've been busts when they go somewhere else.
I love it. John and I have a disagreement. We'll see how it plays out. Now, another trade in a big one. Involving the Miami Dolphins and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles get Jay Ajayi. Yeah, that's right, for a fourth-round pick. And, John, you know, the team you came up with, what is your theory on why they would trade Jay Ajayi, leaving themselves with Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams, a clear downgrade from Ajayi to those guys, and get only a fourth-round pick?
I think Adam Gase was basically done with Jay Ajayi. Remember, this is a guy he suspended to start last year, didn't even take him on a trip. And then all of a sudden he burst onto the scene. Jay Ajayi's averaging 3.4 yards a carry this year, and I think Miami's looking at, all right, this guy's not helping us. He's not really a great locker room guy from the stuff that I've read. We're going to trade him. I think a fourth-round pick is a steal, though. Jay Ajayi was, at minimum, a very good starting running back in this league, and now he's going to run behind an offensive line better than what he had in Miami with a quarterback way better than they have in Miami right now.
So my read on this, that's all perfect. If you accept a fourth-round pick for Jay Ajayi, who was one of the top five rushers in the league last year, that tells me you want him out of your system and out of your locker room. Gase had an interesting quote after last week's game, losing 40-0 to Baltimore. He said, "We have guys trying to hit a home run on every play."
Yep.
He's like, "It's easier than this. Just do your job." Apparently, he was talking directly to Jay Ajayi. Now, we hate the Seahawks here because they're on our way, but they get a coup, stealing Dwayne Brown. I shouldn't say stealing because they had to give up a lot to get him, but they now have a left tackle. And so the Seattle Seahawks are that much better with Dwayne Brown, formerly of the Texans.
Yeah, and they're still talking. Now, mind you, the trading deadline's at 4 o'clock. The guys that could be moved, Jimmy Graham. There's talk that Jimmy Graham could be moved out of Seattle.
He just scored the game when he touched
down. Although he did have a nice game the other day. And Jarvis Landry could still be on the block.
Interesting. Boy, that'd be a fire sale in Miami, huh?
Yeah. But they still got Jay Cutler, if you want that. Hey, Preacher Man, we've still got you. What do you got next? And from the Bible.
Well, we're going to continue the Zeke Elliott conversation. Jerry Jones was on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas today, and it was reported through the Dallas paper some comments, and we'll read those for you coming up next.
We'll do it.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
If you smell!
Can John bring the knowledge?
You're smart.
Preacher Man brings these stories you missed, and yes, the research material.
Open up, air out.
This is From the Bible.
Hallelujah!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Hallelujah. It's Halloween, and it's the Preacher Man's time to shine. Preacher Man, I got to tell you about, and the people, about a cockamamie diet that Charity has me on right now.
This is different than your normal cockamamie
diet?
Yeah,
it is, unfortunately. My cockamamie diet right now consists of a lot of fast food meat where I just take the bread out and I eat it. Apparently not such a great idea. Apparently my cholesterol is off the charts.
Oh, no.
And so Charity is like, we're going to make some changes around here. And a new sheriff in town. And her name is Vegan.
You got to go vegan?
No, I kind of, yeah, sort of. Like, she's like, all of the meat that you eat, it is so, like, high in cholesterol and trans fat. And she's throwing all these words at me that I've never even heard before. Bottom line is, I am now on a diet like the Preacher Man. Preacher Man, so let me ask you this question. Why do you eat a Caesar salad every day?
Because the wife
at lunchtime.
Because the wife tells me to.
Okay. I am now in that same boat. Now, I said to Charity last night, I'm like, okay, well, this is going to involve a lot of food preparation, a lot of cooking. Are you willing to do the food preparation and the cooking, and then I will eat it? She said, yes. And so you make the food, I eat it. I did not go to Bojangles this morning. I will not be eating a Moe's burrito this afternoon. I have to eat the food that Charity's hooking me up with. Shout out to Moe's. Shout out to Chick-fil-A. And, dude, so yesterday, she was ceremoniously throwing away all of the great fattening food I have in the fridge.
Dude, bring it for us. We'll eat it.
Half rack of Shane's ribs thrown away. Like 3 pieces of Jet's Pizza deep dish thrown away. I had an extra spicy deluxe with pepper jack cheese and extra pickles from Chick-fil-A, and she threw it away.
You know what? Listen, dude.
And I got to eat cashews.
If you want to stay at the Holiday Inn tonight, we'll both put our money together and help you out a little bit. That's grounds for divorce, and we got your back on
that. Here's how she dropped it on me. So we had a little reconnection appointment yesterday, and then a little pillow talk, and she drops all this on me during the pillow talk. Yeah, during pillow talk. And I had no choice but to go with it, Preacher Man.
Well, at least we know Mark and I run our households, and we can eat what we want. You guys can be vegans and eat salads and all that stuff.
So are you going to play dress up tonight and actually play the guy that wears the pants in your family? Because that's a costume you don't get to put on often.
No. How do you
either one of you wears the pants in your family.
Get up, Preacher Man.
Both go, you know what.
Dude, what's the costume?
Yeah, you may wear the pants, but you don't run the house.
What's a costume for the guy with high cholesterol? What's that costume?
The Bator.
The operating game.
Yeah, does he have the gown on?
The operation game, you know?
So I get a rhinoplasty or whatever the hell it is. Please save me from that. I don't want it.
Happy Halloween.
So you don't get any candy tonight or anything?
Nothing. Nothing. I get unsalted cashews. That's what I get.
And I'll
like it.
I can't wait to party with you.
I'll like it.
You might get some warm celery water.
I was going to say, if you get unsalted cashews, you might as well eat one of those potluck lunch flyers while you're at it.
Preacher Man, check this out. So last night she's telling me the stuff I can eat and I can't eat. And I love smokehouse almonds, right? The almonds in the bag are so darn good. And I'm like, oh, no. No, don't. And she looked on the back and she's like, no, there's like no trans fat and no cholesterol. I'm like, yes, I like throw a party that I could eat some salted darn almonds.
Actually, what she does is she eats them before you and just slurps off all of the taste and the flavor and the salt and the smokehouse and then gives it back to you.
We have basically hijacked your segment. How long does this diet last?
What segment?
Does this diet last a week, a month?
Well, if Charity's in charge, it could last the rest of his damn life.
Tell him, Preacher Man.
Because, you know, Rick is not a vocal man. He's not a fighter. He's a lover.
A vocal man? He yells at us all the time.
No. You know what I'm saying? He's not a vocal man as far as, like, you know, he will not go against the word of the wife.
It boils up around us all the time. We are his therapy session, let's be honest.
All right, Preacher Man, what do we got on Zeke Elliott?
All right, well, obviously the suspension is back on. Dallas Morning News writer John Machado took some quotes from Jerry Jones. He was on 105.3 The Fan, our sister station in Dallas. Jerry says, with the knowledge I have, the circumstances aren't treating Zeke fair, wouldn't have been issued before Ray Rice situation. He also goes on to say, if we have somebody guilty of domestic violence, they shouldn't play, but Ezekiel Elliott is not one of them. And finally, the last tweet where he quoted Jerry Jones, he said, Ezekiel Elliott is a victim of an overcorrection by Roger Goodell.
You know what? I tend to agree with everything that's said there. Again, there's been no concrete evidence to convict Ezekiel Elliott of what he's been accused of. And I know what you're saying. It's an accumulation of pulling a girl's shirt down and punching a DJ at a club. And it's all this other. But the main one has to do with the assault and battery of the woman that he's alleged to have had happen. Had Ray Rice not happened 4 years ago where the NFL stepped in it and claimed that they didn't have this video and it was found out that they had the video, you wouldn't be having this discussion right now with Zeke Elliott.
I hate agreeing, Preacher Man, with Jerry Jones because I loathe all things star. just not a Cowboys fan, but he makes a lot of good points there. I got to give it to him.
All right, so this is just for you, Rick. I just wanted you to know that your boy, Tiger Woods, said he's going to play again.
Tiger Woods, y'all!
I mean, wake me when he's actually on the course and actually making a cut.
Like next weekend he's supposed to play.
Funny you should mention the cut issue because he's going to play in his own tournament, which is the Hero World Challenge. Where there
so there is no cut,
is
right?
No cut.
Give me a break. I mean, look, God bless him. I don't cheer against Tiger Woods. Just because I told y'all he'd never win another major and I nailed it, I bullseyed it, doesn't mean I hate the guy. I don't hate Tiger Woods. I think it'd be great if he could come back and try to win some tournaments, but... like I told you, the mental dilapidation, the physical dilapidation, he just ain't that dude anymore.
He's not winning tournaments. I will be happy to see him back out on the golf course, albeit it may only be till Fridays on most tournaments because he'll be cut by the time they make it to Saturday.
All right, as we know, today is the trade deadline in the NFL. It'll be over, I believe, 4 o'clock today. Is that correct? Well, apparently Odell Beckham Jr. is very excited that there's a trade deadline, and he's hollering at the Dolphins. He wants Landry traded to the Giants. He sent out a few tweets. He goes, all I want to know is where is @God_Son80 going to end up? My brother, it's all possible. Everything we dreamed of, #SquatUp. He also tweeted out, over here, give me my brother back. And then the last tweet he had was just juice with exclamation points.
Okay.
Now, Josina Anderson of ESPN has tweeted out, I am told Dolphins wide receiver Jarvis Landry was informed this morning the team said they are not trading him. Hopefully, she said, hopefully words still matter, so we'll see.
You should not trade Jarvis Landry. I get it. There's a personality conflict between Jay Ajayi and their head coach, Adam Gase. Jarvis Landry is one of the top – John, he is safely in the top 20 among wide receivers in the NFL. I would not
totally
be given, I would not give that guy up. Yeah. If you gave me a first-round pick, I'll trade you Jarvis Landry, but I ain't just giving him
dude,
up.
Dude, I'm not trading him for a first-round pick right now. Do I want some prospect that may pan out or not, or do I want a guy who's been the best receiver they've had really over the last decade?
Let me double down with this, though. The Giants are going to have probably a top five pick, right? They got one win.
That's different. You give me a top five pick.
Now we're talking,
yeah,
right?
Now we're talking, absolutely.
Okay.
Hey, Jarvis, it's been good knowing you. You and Odell can have matching hair.
All right, we'll move on to the research material today.
Yes.
All right, so today we're going to go with... Jasmine Wilkins.
You had me at Jasmine.
J-A-S-M-Y-N Wilkins.
Of course, there's a Y in there somewhere.
Trying to help you out. And we're also going to go with Steph, S-T-E-P-H, Pacca, P-A-C-C-A.
How do you spell the last name?
Which one?
The last one?
P-A-C-C-A.
P-A-C-C-A, Steph.
Now, the first one is actually related to someone that's pretty famous here in the A. So if you can
how's she
out.
Related to Dominique?
That's his niece.
Wow.
Then I'm not going to comment on her at all.
Nope, me neither.
But Steph Pacca, she's packing.
That she is. Knox Martin's out there facilitating a Facebook Live right now. We will commandeer him in studios, and I got a feeling it's going to get heated as we break down our top 10 and we break down the Heisman race next on our Bickerfest on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Weekday mornings on The Game. It's John and Hugh. Now, before we get into...
I mean, that music means one thing. It's time to bicker. And we have from 92.9thegame.com, Knox Bardeen. We do this every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, and we bicker about all kinds of stuff. But it's college football season, so what's better to bicker about than that? And I do have to say this. I was telling you about the sort of vegan diet that Charity has me on right now because my cholesterol is really, really high, which sucks. It's, like, kind of dangerous and stuff. But anyway, she's like, you have to cut out all of the sodas that you're drinking. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's take one thing at a time, John Michaels. Come on. You can't scrub all of the dangerous, stupid stuff that I consume out with one fell swoop.
No, because what ends up happening, like, today you're all right. By Friday, you're going to be jittery. I got mask hair all over me right now. You're going to be jittery.
He's got a Michael Myers mask for Halloween.
You're going to be so upset if you go sans soda and meat.
Yeah, I can't do them both. There's some other stuff I'm not giving up, Tito's. You know, so...
Well, Tito's is no calories.
Really?
It's gluten-free.
Such good news.
The problem is what you mix
it with. There's
nothing
negative with Tito's, though.
No, nothing at all. It's very nutritious. Just potatoes broken down into a couple of different directions.
with a little sugar-free Red Bull, a little club soda,
and that's no calorie.
Quart of lime.
Yeah, you're good. You got fruit in there and everything.
I know.
Matter of fact, you should go on a Tito's only diet.
It's a good idea.
Wow.
Hey, Knox, welcome to the program.
Thank you. How you doing, bro?
Let's do this, man. Let's get into this. All right, so let's start like we did last week. I like this. Let's give them our top 10 right now. Of course, tonight, the unveiling of the college football playoff committee's rankings. Knox, hit us first. Who is your top 10 in college football right now?
Alabama. I have Georgia, Clemson, Notre Dame. Then I jump down to Oklahoma, Ohio State 6, Penn State 7, Wisconsin 8, Miami 9, TCU 10.
So you just don't – the loss to Syracuse be damned. Clemson is just right there at the top.
Yes. Loss to Syracuse be damned. This is a team that has 4 wins over top 30 teams. And I think the eye test tells me they're one of the best 4 teams in the country.
So it's Are we going eye test or resume?
It's a beauty contest.
It's a little bit of everything. Okay. It's wins. It's the loss. It's the eye test. It's
So are John and me crazy for ranking the undefeated teams on top?
You're absolutely crazy.
How are we crazy? They haven't lost yet.
They haven't played anyone. The 3 of us with 8 other people could go win that schedule.
Knox,
they play.
Okay. You line them up, you knock them down. Okay, I agree. Shame on you, Wisconsin, for having a butt-rotten schedule, but they win every game by at least 2 touchdowns, and then you've got Miami, and by hook and crook and smoke and mirrors and miracles, they still have a bagel in the loss column.
Who's Alabama beat? I think that should be rewarded.
Florida State.
Okay, Miami beat Florida State on the road. What are you saying? Florida State sucks. Alabama does not have a quality win yet this year either. Miami's strength of schedule, if you want to argue, strength of schedule, and they haven't played. Alabama's played nobody. And I'm not saying that Miami's better than Alabama. What I'm saying is you can't make the blanket say, well, they haven't played anybody, yet just slide Alabama right to the front because, oh, they're Alabama.
According to Bill Hancock, on your show, guys, he said they're counting that win as a win over a top 3 team.
And it's the stupidest thing. I respect Bill Hancock. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You do not use a preseason poll, the College Football Playoff Committee. The first poll is today. Then how do you give credit for beating a number 3 team in a poll that you don't even use?
The one thing I'll agree with you there, John, is a preseason poll with all the unknowns and all the questions is a little weird to base something on. However, I will say this. Florida State, not like, okay, even with Francois or without, not as good as number 3, but not as bad as 5 L's at the midway point of the season. This team became a hollow ghost team as soon as Francois went out. All 4 of those future first-round picks on the FSU defense said, holla, I'll see you at the draft. And they're playing like that right now.
The problem with that, though, is you're using what we think was going to happen. This committee was supposed to be brought in to take away preconceived notions. They were supposed to be taken away. You grade, if they're walking in there today, you grade on the paperwork that's been turned in. You don't grade on what you, well, I thought this kid was a straight-A student, so I'm going to give you credit for beating the straight-A student. No, you grade on what's been turned in. You're grading Florida State as a 2-5 team. I don't care what happened.
Okay, let's take a step forward. And because Miami lost the game to the Hurricane, or didn't play a game, let me rephrase it that way. Let's take away Alabama's win over Florida State.
Okay.
And now let's look at the rest of the schedule for both teams. Who has the next best win?
Miami has the next best win against Toledo, who's 8-1.
Oh, Toledo, Schmoledo. Come on. It's Alabama over Texas A&M. That's the best win of the two teams outside of that Florida State game. Toledo does not count, John.
They sure as hell count. Why don't they? They're 8-1.
Their 8-1 is terrible for the same reason that Miami's schedule and Wisconsin's schedule is scheduled. It's against crap competition.
All right, let's John, let's hit them with our top tens here. We're bickering. I like this on Halloween. This is great. All right, here's my top 10, y'all. Alabama, number 1, same as last week. Georgia, number 2, up from 3. Wisconsin at 3, up from 6 on my previous ranking. Miami, 4, up from number 5. That's right. I leapfrogged Wisconsin over Miami because, unfortunately, I watch every play of every Miami game, and, man, do they make a lot of mistakes. So I had to kind of bump Wisconsin over them for that because Wisconsin plays tighter football. Number 5, I have Notre Dame, up from 9. Clemson is at 6, up from 7. Oklahoma is at 7, up from 10. Ohio State back into my top 10 at 8. Penn State at 9, down from number 2. And TCU at 10, down from number 4.
We rank very similar. And again, my criteria, and I got into a lot of arguments on Twitter over the weekend. My criteria is simple. If you are a Power 5 school that is undefeated at this point of the season, you're going to be over any one-loss team. I will then debate the one-loss teams. The first criteria is head-to-head. The second, then, is the power of the loss that they had, and then you kind of move down the criteria from there. So with that in mind, here's my top 10. I have Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Wisconsin 3, Miami 4. Number 5 for me is Notre Dame. Number 6 is Oklahoma. 7, Ohio State. 8, Penn State. 9, Clemson. And where is my 10? 10 is Oklahoma State.
Why are you sleeping so much on Clemson?
They have the worst loss of the one-loss teams.
A short week on the road. You got an injured quarterback. They're extenuating circumstances that make me think that wasn't that bad of a loss. And by the way, John, Syracuse scared the hell out of your boys, they're a pretty good team.
They didn't beat them.
They're a good team. Do you consider Syracuse a bad team, a middle team?
They're a good team. They're average to good. The point is, look at the losses that the other teams have had. Notre Dame lost to Georgia by 1. Number 6 for me is Oklahoma, who loses to Iowa State, who is better than Syracuse right now and is a legitimate top 15 team. I have Oklahoma above Ohio State because they played head-to-head. Oklahoma beat the crap out of Ohio State. I have Ohio State head-to-head against Penn State, who has a better loss than Clemson, which is why I have them there. And then Oklahoma State I have below Clemson.
But why are you looking at the loss for Clemson as opposed to all the great wins they've accumulated?
Good question.
Because these other teams have wins as well.
Not as good as Clemson's.
Okay, Ohio State has arguably the second best win of anybody in the top 10.
They won at home against Penn State, who everybody thinks they're better than anyway.
That's a great win.
It is a great win. Is it as good as
Oklahoma has the best win?
And that's why I have Oklahoma above Ohio State.
Well, I'm a head-to-head too, but I think you're putting way too much value on the fact that a crap to medium okay Syracuse team came up.
Take that crap out of your mouth, Knox.
And came up and surprised Clemson. Take that out of your mouth.
But here's where I laugh with both. How is it their fault that Kelly Bryant got knocked out of that game and Dabo Swinney stupidly started him? Where I laugh at the argument that we're having right now is Clemson gets credit for losing to Syracuse, but because Miami only beats them by 8, you struggled with. We still won the game. By the way, Miami's two best offensive players, who would they be? Amon Richards and Mark Walton. How many quarters on the season have those two guys played together? Together, seven quarters out of the entire season, and they won't play together again the rest of the year. So Kelly Bryant misses a half, and Clemson, they're Clemson. We just got to shove them right back to the top. But the two best offensive players for Miami who could start at any place in the country, and Mark Walton and Amon Richards, have played 7 quarters together, but because we won close, it doesn't matter.
John, and I think I'm going to disappoint you, Rick. I'm sorry. You've got a point. You've got a point. However, because this is your team, I still think you're laser-focused too much on that bagel in the loss column versus the type of schedule they've played. You cannot possibly look at Clemson's schedule and say Miami's schedule is just as good.
Didn't say it was. We don't have a loss.
Have the speed bump.
Bill Hancock, also on our show, walked in and said, strength of schedule is not going to come into play.
No, but who you beat and who you lost to is.
He didn't say that.
He didn't say you had to go out and schedule great teams.
He said it helps, and he said we do look at who you played, where you played them, and all that. Strength of schedule definitely is a part of
this. Miami should be getting a hell of a lot of credit for beating Syracuse, a team that beat Clemson.
I agree with that.
No.
Dude, you are – watch Syracuse, please. Have you seen them play this year?
Yeah,
you haven't.
But it doesn't mean
– Did you watch the Clemson game?
I did watch the Clemson game.
Did you watch the Syracuse-Miami game?
I didn't see that one.
Okay. Well, Syracuse proved in that game they're a legitimate club. Okay. Their quarterback turns it over, 3 times in the first quarter?
Yeah.
And they were still in the game.
So by
at Miami. Syracuse is legit, y'all. I'm telling you, they are not a sucky team.
But what he's saying here is Miami is better than Syracuse, which is better than Clemson, because that's how it played out. And that is absolutely false.
No, what I'm saying is, and it's clear, I don't stutter with what I say. It's very simple. If you're an undefeated Power 5 team, you will be at the top of my ranking. Period. You can't have an argument whose loss is better, whose loss is worse, when you don't have a loss.
Totally
Do I
agree.
Think Miami's going to win the national title? Hell no, I don't think Miami's going to win the national title. I don't. They're going to lose somewhere. Heck, they might lose twice if they play like they did this week.
They might lose this week to Tech. I'm not trying to put that on you, John.
And then they'll be out of the rankings. They'll be done. My point is, when I make my rankings, and this is where I'd love to be in the committee room, I want to know how you rank somebody. Well, because they potentially played a harder schedule. How is it Miami's fault that Florida State sucks this year? You thought that would be a 6 or 7 win team. It's not their fault. Is it their fault that Georgia Tech lost a close game to Tennessee earlier that knocks them down some? No. Is it their fault that Syracuse lost to Middle Tennessee State? No, it's not. Same way, Miami's out of conference this year. Bethune, crap game. Everybody has one of those. Yep. Toledo is a very good Group of Five program. They lost a game against another good Group of Five program in Arkansas State, and they play Notre Dame. So they have two good games, two crap games, which goes right along with pretty much everybody else's schedule.
Isn't the idea of good wins, bad losses, strength of schedule, what the committee is doing probably right now as we speak, is it the whole idea of that to find the best four teams in the country?
No, it's to find the best four resumes right now. If you want to play the – so are we grading this on what we've seen so far or the eye test, okay? Because there's no way in hell that I would put Wisconsin or Miami over Clemson, Notre Dame,
right.
Ohio
if
State,
it's just an
all
eye
these
test.
Teams. If it's just an eye test, okay? But it's not an eye test. To me, it should be all of the tangible stuff that we have seen, all of the black and white, all of the stuff on film, mm-hmm. and then maybe as a tiebreaker,
yep.
like a deep, deep, distant tiebreaker, you go to eye test. But come on, this should be about resume, Knox.
This is a convoluted process to find the best four teams in the country. Now, how you determine the best four, that unfortunately, that's going to be different with all 13 of these people in there.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of when we're arguing whose loss is better, whose win is better, resume, I'd like to think if you put those two teams on the field right now, who would win? And Miami doesn't stand up to that test against a number of these teams.
Well, guess what?
About.
We'll find out against Notre Dame in 2 weeks. We'll potentially find out against Clemson in about 4 weeks.
Bro, you're going to find out on Saturday.
Saturday right?
Virginia
Tech.
Tech's not even in the conversation. My point is we'll find two of the teams that everybody said they have no chance against. They can play two of them in the next 4 weeks. And this has nothing to do with Miami. I make the same argument for Wisconsin.
Sure.
This goes to Wisconsin as well. It's not just a Miami thing. It's a undefeated thing.
Okay, so a lot of us do these rankings, and they're aggregated on 929thegame.com. Conti, go for it. John, Bo, Jeff Benedict, Chuckery, Fricky, me, Bunker, Gebhardt, Wendy, Knox. Okay, all of us do these rankings. And I want to dap those of us who are on the side of me and John, where if you're undefeated, you get the love. Okay, Conti has Wisconsin 3 and Miami 4. John has Wisconsin 3 and Miami 4. I have Wisconsin 3, Miami 4. Bo Morgan has Wisconsin 4 and Miami 3. And Wendy has Wisconsin 3 and Miami 4. Okay, I think us five are getting it, you know, more than the others. And I know it sounds like I'm hating it. I'm not, but I just disagree. Like John and I've been saying, you have a bagel in the loss column as a power five. I got to put you to the top, even over great one-loss teams. And then you have Knox Bardeen. Mm-hmm. He has Wisconsin at 8 and Miami at 9. So here we are in the Bickerfest, and you are completely on the other side of the earth in terms of how you treat these undefeated teams.
Because I'm a realist. I look at real football games and determine which are the real best four teams in the country.
We're bickering, John.
And you really don't count losses. Losses are just,
wash moss.
You hand them a participation trophy because they lost the game. Because guess what? You lose a game, your ass should be out until everybody else has a loss.
No, that's fiction because you're not playing apples to apples. You're doing apples to oranges.
You can never do apples to apples. The only thing that's apples to apples are wins and losses. Nobody has the exact same schedule. There's no concrete criteria like in the NFL. There's no concrete tiebreakers like this. So it's never going to be apples to apples.
If we're letting all the undefeated teams play, there's one down in Florida that could say they're undefeated.
Again, I said power five undefeated. Unfortunately, group of five is not considered equal. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. That's a fact.
All right, can we shift gears here to the Heisman?
We want to.
You good? I don't. All right, because we're running short on time here. Let's just debate super quick: Barkley or Barrett for the top of your Heisman list right now. Me and Conti are the only ones with sense around here to put JT Barrett number one in our Heisman rankings. The stats have been off the charts. It was so clutch, that comeback win. And then I've got Saquon Barkley for the first time this year, John, not in the top spot. I got him number two.
I still have Barkley number one. He leads the country in all-purpose yards. Yep. It wasn't his fault that Penn State lost. He put him on their back. I do have JT Barrett number two, who was my preseason pick to win the Heisman.
I'm the same way. I have Barkley 1, I have Barrett 2, and I think it's interesting if you look at our aggregate there. We would invite four people to New York City if our numbers. We would invite Barkley, Mayfield, Barrett, and Bryce Love. Those would be the four coming.
Problem with Bryce Love, you had a chance on Friday night to put up two bills, and you're out. He's going to have one of those special days against Notre Dame late in the season to have any chance to get to New York.
Super quick, Bicker, because we're out of time here. So I think we all agree with that four that you just said. And then the fifth, you can get kind of freaky with. I got Josh Adams, man. The guy's 9 yards a tote. He's the best player on, you know, right now, arguably the best team in college football. So, John and me are on the same
Rudolph
page there.
Ahead of Love. I'm a big fan of Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, he put up an unbelievable game this past weekend. And Baker Mayfield, obviously, in there as well. I will say this as we close. You probably know. I do not feel Miami is one of the best four teams in the country. Period.
But
because they're undefeated. I do not feel Wisconsin is one of the four best teams.
That line of thinking makes my skin crawl.
No.
It shouldn't.
You have
undefeated.
Your chance to win.
They're not the best team, but.
Yeah.
Come on.
They haven't lost like the other teams that are allegedly the best. How about beat Syracuse? How about beat Georgia? Do something like that. You couldn't. That's why you lost.
We take a break. We come back.
NFL conversation. Who had the best win this past weekend in the league? That's next on Sports Radio.
John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Always at the top of my list is the football and the turnover margin. And these are two teams that are usually pretty good in that area and are not up to their own standards, ours and theirs, in terms of the turnover margin. So I would imagine really tough physical game. And I would say the team that wins the ball, you know, will have a better chance of winning.
That's Dan Quinn, and I'm not sure he's on a diet, but I certainly am. Mike Conti was making me hungry talking about all that Taco Bell stuff. Charity has me on a low-cholesterol diet because my cholesterol – I was just commiserating with Mike Bell, who's had his cholesterol issues, and he was empathizing with me as I noshed on a Fiber One 90-calorie cinnamon coffee cake, whatever the hell this is. But you look at the back, John, and
most
it says –
Most call that cardboard.
It says it actually was kind of tasty, but it was tasty cardboard. Saturated fat 1.5 grams, trans fat zero, cholesterol zero. So it's a hit. That's me right now. I want a burrito supreme with double beef, no refried beans, no sour cream, and extra cheese. That's what I would order if I could right now.
Is Charity listening right now?
No, she's at jury duty, and she is being completely destroyed at jury duty.
Unless you're low jacked. Which I don't think you are. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, slide off.
From the time you leave the house to the time you go home.
Yeah, but I mean, she's got a good point. Like, I have a dangerously high cholesterol level.
Like, dangerous, so like just, you could croak in here?
Yeah, like my dad had heart issues. My mom had heart issues. Yeah, so, it's time to get responsible, John. I'm almost 50.
Now way to bring down the room once you mention all
no,
that.
No, I'm just saying, it's time to get the prostate exam and the whole damn thing. I'm getting old, John.
I was just saying, nobody in here is giving you mouth to mouth, so I hope you don't fall off the chair.
I hope I don't croak today.
I'll kick you once or twice to see if that revives you, but I'm not getting down and doing the Heimlich or the Helfrich maneuver, whatever it's called.
This fiber, you could just scare me back alive with your Michael Myers mask, John, here on Halloween.
Can I wear that into the potluck that we weren't invited to? Because none of us brought food.
Absolutely, you should. You can wear it in there.
And by the way, you should just walk in there and just take three ribs.
Yeah, and nobody knows who you are.
Grab them with your hand too. Don't
I was
going to
say
utensil.
From the eighth floor. I think there's four people that may know me.
You could go in there without a mask, and nobody's going to know who you are.
Wow.
Now, who's the white guy over there? Why is he wearing a Dickie shirt like he's about to
it's
go
Zino.
To the press?
It's all right. Let's reel it in. Let's talk football, man. Every Tuesday, you guys are crazy. Every Tuesday at 1:20. We take inventory of the NFL with best win, worst loss, most choke, most clutch, best coaching, and worst coaching. So let's get cracking, man. John, best win of the week in the National Football League was?
Best win for me was the Seattle Seahawks because that was an entertaining as heck game. And I think what you finally saw out of the Seahawks, they can play a little bit of offense when pushed, and I think those guys are going to be really happy. Now you add a Dwayne Brown to the mix, potentially to be their left tackle, sooner rather than later. I think Seattle had one of those wins that they're going to look back on and go, this is pretty damn good.
It was a great win, great offensive performance. They actually involved Jimmy Graham. How about that? Amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, their offensive line's been leaky all year. It's going to be that much better now that they get Dwayne Brown. So I'm with that. I had them written down as one of my best wins. I also had Pittsburgh written down, and I also had Buffalo written down. But I'm staying home for this one, John.
Okay.
No team in the NFL needed a win more than the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
And we felt that here.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at all 32 teams, I'm telling you right now, there's not a team in the NFL that needed a win more than our Falcons, losing three in a row. You go a month without a W, you're on the road in soggy conditions, moist.
conditions, and you get the win. Best win was the Falcons.
Yeah, it was slippery out there, and it was a scenario where I did see the Falcons definitely needed this win. There was an exhale moment at the end of that game, like, all right, we're back on the winning track. We feel good about ourselves again. We're over a 500. We'll take it right now. Worst loss, Rick Kamla, in the NFL this past week.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, you 3 points? That's all you got? You got 3 points in you. That's it. You get 60 minutes to play football at home against the Panthers, and you get 3 points. They got a dirt cutter problem, bro. Yeah. I'm telling you right now. And, you know, you like to throw Smitty under the bus as well. And maybe you're right. I'm not a big Mike Smith fan. But, John, they held the Panthers to 17 points. That has to be a W. 17 points. You have to be able to score more than that at home. Anyway, so worst loss to me is John, they're 2-5.
Yeah.
They're almost dead. Like, they're not quite dead yet, but they're bleeding out on the battlefield just waiting for somebody to drop that sword through their torso.
Well, Michael Myers is definitely stalking them. Like, they've tripped over the log already. They're falling through the bushes, and he's wielding the big butcher knife.
And just crawling, right?
He just does the slow walk.
No. The damsel in distress, just crawling on Jameis the ground. Winston, she just can't move.
Jameis Winston's like a crab right now trying to get away from butter sauce. That's horrible, isn't it?
I love butter sauce with little crab legs, but not anymore.
Not allowed to have that.
I'm on a diet.
Now, seafood's not healthy for you either?
Not with all that butter.
So you could just go like naked crab.
Yeah. I love me some naked crab.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
You put butter it right sauce, in your mouth. Also a great band playing the Tabernacle in a couple of weeks.
they're the Skunky Puppets, and Michael Myers. They're
we
all playing.
Call, oh, Jim McElwain, he could probably help you out with some seafood recommendations.
Yeah, he could.
Super quick.
We
got to get back on this football thing. But the dude that called yesterday and turned me on to Papadocio. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
the jam
I do.
Band? I listened to them yesterday. I really liked it. So shout out for that recommendation. All right, now back to work.
Worst loss for me, it's simple. The game seems like a week ago because it was last Thursday night. How do you lose 40-0 to the Ravens? I mean, seriously? That's the effort that Adam Gase's team put out there on a Thursday night. It actually has pretty much probably led them to trade Jay Ajayi. There was talk about dysfunction in that locker room. That's horrible. And it makes me look and go, how in the blue hell did we lose to that cockamamie team? Matt Moore fans were happy that Matt Moore was in over smoking Jay Cutler, and you scored zero. Nothing. That's trash.
It is. So let's move on. I totally agree with you. That was a despicable loss by the Miami Dolphins. All right, so let's move on to most choke.
Mm-hmm.
You got a most choke?
I do, and it's the team you just talked about, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How do you go up there with Jameis Winston and Mike Evans and all these players you have on offense and score 3 points? I get it. Carolina's a good defensive team in spurts. They're not a great defensive team. You can't choke away possessions like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did there and lose that game 17-3. They haven't all the way let go of the rope, but it's down to one fat guy laying in the sand getting drug along by everybody else.
This one's really hard, John. I have five candidates for most choke. Jameis Winston, 2 picks. Mm-hmm. Trevor Siemian, 3 picks.
Oh, he's terrible.
Martavis Bryant watched on the sidelines as the guy he despises, Juju Smith-Schuster, set a Steelers record, 7-for-193 and a touchdown. Had a 97-yard touchdown. But, John, let's condense this to the two main candidates. Jeremy Curley, the punt returner for the Jets, who muffed a punt and helped us win. Did you see this? The NFL has suspended Jeremy Curley for some violation. It's an undisclosed violation. So the guy screws up the game and gets suspended. But, John, my biggest choke is Travis Benjamin of the San Diego Chargers, who got caught in the end zone for a safety on a punt return in a 21-13 game. Travis Benjamin gets my most choke of the week.
Yeah, he tried to run backwards and, oops, didn't get out of the end zone and got tackled there. It could have been Andre Roberts for a moment, allowing that punt to sail over his head and get down at about the 1-inch line for the New York Jets, but Falcons bailed him out. He also had a long kick return that got called back. Should have been a touchdown there, but I understand where you're going with Travis Benjamin. Most clutch this weekend, Rick Kamla?
This is a dual thing here. It's Russell Wilson and it's Deshaun Watson. These guys lit it up. John, this might have been the game of the year. It was so fun to watch, especially, you know, a guy that's so high on Deshaun Watson. I've got him on all my teams, all except one, that is. But Deshaun Watson, first player in NFL history with 400-plus yards, 4 touchdowns, and 50-plus rushing yards, had 67 on the ground, 402 in the air. He did throw 3 picks, and a couple of them were kind of lousy, but overall had a magnificent game. And then, John, how about Russell Wilson? 452, four mm-hmm. touchdowns, one interception against a pretty good Houston defense. I know they're down some guys, but most clutch to me was Watson and Wilson dueling on Sunday afternoon.
Loved it. It was a great game. One of the best games in the NFL all season long. Most clutch for me, you mentioned him already, Juju Smith-Schuster. You got your opportunity really about 2 weeks ago, and not only have you capitalized, you've kicked the door in, you've grabbed all the candy, you've went back outside. That job's his. Martavis Bryant, bye-bye. Because here's what doesn't happen in Pittsburgh. You don't get to walk around and puff your chest out and tell the Steelers what they better do, or your rear end won't have a job. So Martavis Bryant, enjoy sitting on the sideline, collect your paycheck, or get traded to an outpost somewhere a little bit later on today. I think the Barcelona Dragons are looking for a wide receiver. Or the Iowa Barnstormers.
Dude, it's unfortunate. He's such a talented player, Martavis Bryant. He should be rocking and rolling. I tell you, anyway, he's a fantasy bust this year. Best coaching, John.
Sean Payton. What he's done, and this is sort of more cumulative than just right now. Drew Brees has not had vintage Drew Brees numbers. He's been pretty pedestrian, to be honest with you. But the Saints keep winning, and Sean Payton's the reason why. They got rid of Adrian Peterson. See ya. It's Mark Ingram. It's Alvin Kamara. Their defense is playing better. I hate to give credit to that organization. Sean Payton's a guy they wanted fired 6-8 months ago. It tells you what Saints fans know. And all of a sudden, he's got that thing rolling right now in spite of his quarterback a little bit.
John, I have really enjoyed throwing shade on Bill Butchin O'Brien for years here on 92.9 The Game. But I'm going to give him the best coaching award this week, and here's why. His play calling has been excruciatingly conservative. Mm-hmm. Run, pass, get off the field and a three and out. It just drives me crazy. But guess what he's done, John? He's opened up the offense. I go to take a pee. I come back, and Will Fuller's dancing in the end zone. What? He already had 2.5 minutes into the game. They get a 59-yard bomb to Will Fuller. That would not have happened. But with Deshaun Watson, he's opened it up. They also get a 72-yard bomb to DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. And actually, that wasn't a bomb. It was a long gain. It was a short pass he took. But nevertheless, Bill O'Brien has opened up the playbook, opened up the offense. So I give him best coaching of the week.
Who is the worst coach of the week?
Three choices. Adam Gase, Hugh Winless Jackson, and Dirk Cutter. And I'm going to keep piling on Dirk Cutter. You have way too talented a football team to be 2-5. Dirk Cutter gets my worst coaching of the week.
I'm doubling down on the city of Miami. Adam Gase, are you kidding me? Dude, you scored zero against the Ravens. I turn it over to Mark Owens. What do we have coming up next?
Read Between the Lines coming up next, and he's an NBA legend. He's a really good analyst, but his third chapter as a late-night talk show host, it's all coming up next.
From the first play.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.